Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another round with Broad Wasted, where we're pre-gaming for the weekend.
Woo-hoo.
I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and today we are not talking about Avenue Q, about Avenue ABC, Always Be Caring, or maybe DEF, Don't Ever Feud. H-I-J, hi, it's Jager.
Oh, good one. I like that. I'll use that in real life.
K-L-M.
Yeah, it's, Kevin, it's hard to break those up.
Let's
make money.
I guess we have to go through it now.
Yeah, okay, we can keep going. N-O-P, no obstinate people, Q-R-S, quiet really seriously, T-U-V, take U-V...
No, you can't do that. Take.
Oh, that's right, because then that's a V. I was going to say take the UV rays very... What's next? Very wicked
xylophone.
Zeppelin.
This didn't work with Cerberus, and it doesn't work
now.
Yeah,
we can't do the alphabet very well.
Anyway, wetting their whistle with me today are the usual bad idea bears, including Ooh. Kevin, I've Got No Strings, Jager.
That's me.
Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Game master sounds creepier when puppets are involved. But I like it.
And today we're welcoming some of the creative team behind the new family musical about disabilities, bullying, and friendship, Addie and Uno, which is premiering in New York City right now until September 24th. Let's give a big, broad-waisted welcome to new friends of the show.
Friends of the show.
Yay.
Bonnie Gleischer and Nava Sultan.
Yay!
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. So basically, you know, let's just start out with, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
So, juice boxes.
Yay! Kimberly, tell us what you brought us.
Yeah, tell us.
I brought some nice apple juice with the Avengers on them. It is 100% juice from Concentrate.
So it's really like, good. Is it like hero juice?
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hero juice. Yeah.
110% vitamin C.
Yeah, that's what I expect for my juice.
110% vitamin C?
Yeah, 100. How do you get 110%?
Yeah, that's what I was just wondering. How do they add the extra
10%? Oh, it's 110% of, like, daily recommended value.
Oh. That makes sense.
There's an
app. That's pretty good.
That's why I like...
That's real good.
On vitamin labels, you can get, like, 1,000% of your vitamin D in one pill.
That's a lot. Oh, yeah, 90 calories.
This is a delicious treat.
So, oh, they don't try to trick you with it being, like... One serving per... There's like 8 servings in the container.
That kind of mean if like a juice box was more than one serving.
That's true. That would be good.
You can't
no, it's just
save
one.
It.
Oh, I mean, sometimes it's more than one serving.
I don't think so.
How often are you drinking juice boxes?
Oh, not juice box. I'm just saying things in general.
See, I feel like when I was in my juice box phase, I was always drinking two at once. Like double fisting juice boxes.
Now, were you a Capri Sun gentleman?
No.
Oh.
Because I would get really upset when I would stab the thing through the back and it would all pour out. And I was that kid
you're
that
like,
I was like Bam Bam or Thor
Lenny,
the baby.
Lenny and George.
Exactly. I just constantly killed those. So my mom was like, here, just drink this.
Now, were you a juice box person, a Capri Sun person?
I was a juice box. I was an iced tea juice box girl.
Mm. Okay.
Iced
so
tea?
Bonnie yeah. was
soda.
A...
Soda.
Okay, and do you, was anyone here into Sunny D?
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Totally
I'm from Florida, so that's not allowed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wait, what?
Because it's like oranges, the state of real orange juice, so you can't drink Sunny D in Florida.
That's fair.
Oh. I was an apple juice person, and more recently I was a Yoo-Hoo, and I could double or triple fist.
Yes!
Oh. Also a Yoo-Hoo yeah. person.
Well, I always, if I have the choice of cider and juice, I will take cider. But I do enjoy a good apple juice.
You do enjoy a good cider, even in the non-alcoholic variety.
I used to work at a cider mill.
Really?
Yeah, it was my first job.
Did you step on the apples? Or is it not like wine?
No, it's not like
I don't
wine.
Think I've ever heard someone say their first job was working at a cider mill.
That was you now, yeah.
That's a unique statement.
Yeah.
So let's talk about their show.
Okay. I'm going to open up another juice box. So I'd love to hear from both of you kind of, before we explain the show. Let's start there.
So Addie and Uno is the first family musical about disability. And it's heartfelt, it's hilarious, it's fun. It has a rap, it has Avenue Q-style puppets. And kids and adults have just totally loved it. They learn sign language in the show. They can sing along. They can dance along. And it's been totally a joy watching the audience watch the show.
Now, when you say Avenue Q style, do you mean that those puppets, like the puppeteers, are visible as well?
Totally. So this is not a puppet show. This is a show with puppets, and actors are all in black, and they hold the puppet, and the show is really told through an adult and this puppet. But what's great is that, you know, we're taking a very kind of heavy subject, and when kids see these puppets, they just come alive, and it's so accessible and it's so fun to them. And
not just kids.
Not just kids. Adults just smile. They just light up. And that's
Kevin's seeing it twice a week.
Incredible.
I love puppets so much.
Front row seat. Yeah.
There's just a glittered chair that's my seat that I come and sit in every time.
Reserved.
So how did your backgrounds lead you to this project and want to tell this story this type of way?
So I'm a developmental psychologist by training. Mm-hmm. And before I pursued my PhD in psychology, I spent some time with my sister, who had suddenly was just diagnosed on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. And simultaneously, I was working at Nickelodeon. And she suggested to me that the hardest part of autism for her family was that kids would flock to her other children, and they would treat her son on the spectrum like he was part of the wallpaper. Mm-hmm. And that was a very upsetting notion for me. And
sure.
So that, coupled with my work at Nickelodeon and later at Sesame Street during graduate school, I realized that something needed to be done, not only to directly help individuals on the autism spectrum, mm-hmm. but to help teach other kids how to better understand autism and how to understand other disabilities. And not only to understand them, but to appreciate their friends, to understand that it's not just a deficit-based model of disability,
right.
but that they're great strengths that kids
sure.
with disabilities have. And so I started off with storyboarded episodes of a show.
Mm-hmm.
I brought it to schools, and they said, "This is great, but we'd love to see it in print format." And so I created a 10 comic book series with instructional manuals for teachers.
Cool.
I brought that to schools, and they loved it. But they said, "Did you give up on the show idea?" And I said, "Absolutely not." But due to the cost prohibitive nature of animation, and due to the real accessibility, as Bonnie said,
mm-hmm.
of puppets and the ability to ease kids into these messages,
mm-hmm.
we thought puppets would be ideal. And so we created 5 puppets. And soon after, I met Bonnie, and we joined together to create this musical.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
So you have experience in puppeteering as well as development?
So I have some theater background, and I'm a developmental psychologist by trade, but no puppet experience. I hired a puppet designer to create our puppets. He had worked back in the day on Avenue Q puppets, along with many other puppeteers there. And but I just have done quite a bit of research on puppets and learned that there really is this incredible therapeutic capacity of a puppet, and just wonderful opportunities to reach kids through puppets.
That's awesome.
What's your first memory of like learning through puppets?
Ooh.
Sesame Street.
Yeah, Sesame.
Oh, such an easy answer.
Do you have another one?
I do.
Do you really?
Why?
Yeah.
But mine have a specific Sesame Street moment.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
No, mine is it's maybe not learning, maybe I'm stretching it.
Oh,
but
God.
There was this version of Hansel and Gretel. They had the two famous puppets from like medieval, like Punch and Judy, and they would go to, so Hansel and Gretel would take, their father would take them to town, and then Hansel and Gretel would like leave them in the town square to watch Punch and Judy, and they loved it, and they would learn a song that my sister and I still sing to each other this day. And for
go
some,
on.
Raise your hands and clap, clap, clap. Point your toe and tap, tap, tap. Left and right, left and then. Turn around and back again. Fa la 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 la. And we used to rent that from Blockbuster. We just like return it and then re-rent it. We loved it.
Oh, Blockbuster.
I've never heard of this.
I mean, also like Grover is my jam.
Grover's amazing.
Super Grover
yeah.
is everything to me.
Do you remember, I'm old, so I go back a little further, you probably won't remember this. There was a character named Mr. Hooper who was on Sesame Street.
Kevin, don't tell this story, I'm gonna cry.
I know! Do you remember the episode when Mr. Hooper passed away and like,
Kevin,
literally they taught Big Bird what that meant and like,
oh my God.
It was one of the most, I remember like being a kid and like sitting with my parents and like, talking with them while watching this and like, my mom crying and being this whole thing and it was just, like, so powerful that you could like tell such a, like you said, such a like heavier story or a heavier message that like you need to teach kids somehow, but it's difficult sometimes to cross that barrier.
And then he puts the picture
with,
up.
I can't. Oh, that was so good.
Also Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's a good one for
yeah.
sure.
Secret word is. Sorry. I'm so excited. We're like, and now this is a show about Kevin and Brian's puppet memories.
Gosh.
We can keep going.
Yeah, that's fine. So we'd love to hear more about the actual puppets and the individuals that are being featured as puppets.
Okay, so we have Addie, who presents with ADHD. She's hilarious, spontaneous, and a seat-of-the-pants kind of gal. We have Uno, who presents with autism, but he has incredible strengths in math and spatial orientation. We have Melody, who has low vision, with an incredible, booming, exciting voice. We have Seymour, who has a hearing impairment, but he can see more. He has wonderful insight. And we have RJ, who has a physical impairment, but strong athletic arms, and he's the real cool guy in the group and brings all of his friends together along with the whole team.
That's awesome. And the rumor is that we might have a special guest a little bit later. Cameron!
So those are all the characters.
And then there's an adult as well, you said, like a real person.
So we have the individuals who are playing non-puppet characters are the bullies and the math snakes. And those are
Slytherin, always getting a bad name. So let's talk, it's a musical. So can we talk a little bit about the music, the lyrics, how you kind of built this show around the ability to teach through those songs and convey the uniqueness of these individuals through the music?
Totally. So when I first met Nava, I immediately loved these characters. I loved the story. I felt for them. I felt like they were real already and that they already had their song. And I was so excited to just go home and get to know them better, read about their disabilities, understand their story, and just get them to start singing. And I think what's so great about this story is that, and their journey is that, these are characters that undergo so much and they have so much resilience and they have so much joy and there is such tenderness around these friends and they rally together that it was just so perfect for song. Like these kids were just meant to be soaring and kind to each other and falling in love with a girl on the bus and like all these beautiful things were just, it was so heightened and so intense that I felt like it was just so ready to be sung. And the show came together really quick. All the music, everything was all done within a month, 3 months. By the time between September and December, we had a show.
Yeah.
And in December, we had a bunch of performances. The response was incredible. And then in March, we were featured in the Real Abilities Disabilities New York Film Festival. And that was so, so great. And then now we have this opportunity. So for me, what I love about writing for kids and adults, but for kids especially, there's this beautiful simplicity and this honesty when you write for kids. You know, when you write for adults, there's almost like a need to be clever or flashy or something. But with kids, like, no, you can take this beautiful, poignant, really complex thing about love and hope and trials and doubts, and you can condense it into these tiny little lyrics that totally cross ages and cross barriers. And so it was so exciting the first day that we ever had a rehearsal and we heard it sung, because it just felt so emotional and so alive.
And did you write lyrics and music?
Yes. Yeah.
For this specific project, what came first and how did that influence the other or vice versa?
So I feel really thankful that the music and lyrics always come together. And usually for me, it's the chorus. So for instance, there's a really, there's a big anthem in the show called Watch Me Fly, and the chorus for that came at the same time, music and lyrics. So Watch Me Fly came with, Watch Me Fly, and that whole melody. And then I go from there. I really think both come in tandem, and what's fun is that my background is actually as a performer. I grew up performing on Broadway and off, mm-hmm. and when I got to high school, I started writing music, and when I got to college, everything just merged, and I started writing my first musical, and so whenever I write these songs, I like to act them out and become the characters, so that I hope that the joy that I have in writing them is the joy that the actors feel in acting it and the audience feels when they see the show.
That's awesome.
Great. Can I ask about the audience? Because you said that the kids are able to jump along and dance along. Did you navigate the physical space of the theater at all to be accessible to kids who learn in different ways?
So we set up a series of trigger warnings so that kids with disabilities could feel comfortable being there, knowing what's coming up ahead. We also we were very mindful when we were doing our lighting, when we were doing our sound, to just be as sensitive as possible to any sensory issues that might arise. There's also a really nice amount of interactivity in the show so that kids can really interact during the show. We teach sign language actively during the show. The whole audience is participating together and doing the sign language with the actors. So there's a lot of opportunity for interactivity and, again, a very sensitive thought process when it comes to sensory issues and other disabilities.
Awesome. Great.
I want to go dance along.
Yeah.
Please do.
Every show should have a dance floor.
Yeah. Every show should have a dance floor and a Megamix.
I do love a Megamix.
A good Megamix will get me on my feet. Yeah. So I have a question. This is kind of unrelated, but you see in pop culture now, especially TV, you see a lot of portrayals of the spectrum, autism versus Asperger's. Could you give us kind of insight into your professional understanding of what's important and being portrayed in a helpful manner?
So I think something really interesting about the autism spectrum is that it is so wide and it is so vast. Mm-hmm. There's so much heterogeneity in the spectrum. And so no two kids with autism look exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And so in our character of Uno, we're really portraying a character with pretty high functioning autism, mm-hmm. who's verbal. He presents with a lot of the anxiety, with kind of comorbid anxiety, a lot of sensory issues. He has, a number of features of the spectrum, rigidities, those types of things, some stimulations. And I think that when I see autism portrayed in other venues, I think as long as they're being true to the fact that there is a heterogeneous nature to the disorder, that I think it's usually trying to be portrayed well. There's also, of course, more low-functioning autism where many of those kids are nonverbal, mm-hmm. and they communicate through devices. And I think what's incredible today is that because of devices and assistive technology, there's so many more voices that can be heard in autism than ever before. And so many of the strengths that were previously hidden to the public can now be revealed. And I think that's a pretty exciting time frame. There are two ways to kind of look at it, right?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
Sesame Street, I think, has the tactic of way back when in the early 1970s, they featured a child with Down syndrome on Sesame, and he really was supposed to be part of the canvas. So it, just like you said, it's not overtly discussed. He just is part of the canvas with the other kids. And then there is their new character, Julia, who is more discussed, to make it more clear that Julia is on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so there are two ways to kind of go about it. You can mm-hmm. kind of feature the individual in a positive light on the canvas, or you can overtly discuss the inclusion of this character in your piece. And, I go back and forth with respect to which is the most effective means of managing the kind of realities of the disorder, mm-hmm. and also trying to be as pedagogically accurate and as helpful to kids as possible.
So in Addie and Uno, are you balancing those two types? Would you say it's more
one version of that expression versus another?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a mix. I think we're trying to kind of achieve a mix between those two poles so that the disabilities are pretty overt in some fashion, but we're not outright discussing the name of the disability 24/7 kind of thing.
Well, good for you guys. That's amazing to like get that message out there and to like continue the dialogue and get it to the point where, like you said, like you can balance those two, but if we keep discussing it, it'll get to the point where you don't think the balance will just happen. So that's really awesome you guys are doing that.
But let's play a game.
Let's do it.
Okay.
But joining us for the game, we have a very special guest. We have not only invited the creative team, but one of...
I'm so excited.
Well, let's have her introduce herself.
Hello, world. I'm Melody.
Melody's here. Melody's here. Welcome, Melody.
Oh, thank you.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. I've been waiting for this debut my whole life.
Now I'm nervous.
I know.
I like
your bows. They're very pretty.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
So my name's Melody. I like to sing. I like to sing all the time.
Yes.
I like to sing every day, every moment of every day. And
I like this girl.
Oh, thank you. I like to think that the world is a stage. And I have the most amazing friends. And I also have this awesome walking stick.
Cool.
And I use it all the time. And sometimes I even dance.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's why you need a dance floor everywhere.
And I sing a song called Think It Over.
Oh, yeah?
You want to hear?
Sure.
Yeah.
So think it over, don't get too excited. And think it over and over. Oh, you've got the night to lay back, there's no need to hurry. Take it from us, you've got the time to think it over.
Yeah!
Melody, do you want to play a game with us?
Yeah!
Great! Well,
I
let's
not be smiling more if I try.
Let's throw it over to Kimberly.
Okay, this game is a new creation, so
Ooh.
We're working on a name.
Let's do it.
If anyone thinks of a good name for this, let me know.
Let's do it, okay?
Right now, it's just called 30 Seconds to Name 5. Which is based on a board game called Name 5.
Okay, great.
So basically, the overarching rule of this game is you have 30 seconds to name 5 things in a category, but we will play in a few different ways. We do need to split into 2 teams.
Okay.
What do you think is best? Boys versus girls?
That works.
Sure, I'll be with Melody, and then Kevin.
No.
Kevin, you can be with Melody.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
Okay. I like this.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So what are teams now? It's me, Melody, versus everyone else?
Oh, yes. I'll be on your guys' team.
Okay.
Yeah. So me and Melody are alone.
Yeah, that's right.
High five.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna put on top of the juice boxes these 3 options. The option is either team play, which means that your team has one category and one set of 30 seconds to name 5 things in that category.
Okay.
Or all play, and the first team to name 5 things in that category wins that round.
Okay.
Or flip-flop. And that means when you draw a category, you go back and forth between the teams, naming things in that category until someone messes up.
Got it.
This is great.
Okay. And so I'm going to put these blue pieces of paper, have those 3 options in the middle.
Great.
So before your turn, you'll pick one. And then when you decide what to do, you'll pick your category, which are either pink or yellow. Try to close your eyes when you pick them because pink is 2 points, yellow is 1 point.
Got it.
And then we'll play like 3 rounds.
Great. I love it.
Sound good?
Yeah,
perfect.
Okay, let's see. I think the team with the youngest player should go first.
Yes!
Melody, how old are you?
I'm 9 years old.
Yay!
This is ridiculous already!
All right, Kevin, do you want to pick your blue?
I'll pick it for us.
Oh, and I'll get my timer ready.
So this is an all-play round.
Yes.
So that means that it's the first team to name the 5?
Yes.
And I'm
gets
closing
that,
my eyes.
Points.
And can I look at the category now?
Yes, you can.
Okay, everyone ready?
Yeah.
The category is Board games.
Monopoly. Life.
Chess. Oh, God, they're going too fast.
Chess.
Checkers.
Chess. Sorry.
Sorry. Scattergories.
We did.
Scattergories.
We did it already.
Oh,
because
you
I'm on your team.
Oh.
They were listening to you the whole time.
Scrabble.
I was just stealing the things you said because I realized very quickly they weren't listening to you.
To each other, I really thought you were opposite.
Maybe because of seating purposes, I'll flip teams.
Okay, and that works because we weren't
flipper.
Paying attention and you were helping Kevin.
Oh, then Brian was helping us, so we take his point, so we got a point. I don't know. So someone got a point on that round. Let's play
you guys
round.
Get a point.
We get a point.
Okay, so we'll pick
one. I put the blue back in, but not the category.
Yes, and then I can pick one.
Okay, I get to pick one of these.
Yes,
one of these first, right?
Yeah.
That went well.
That went well.
Okay, I'll play.
It's an all play round
again. Okay.
We're gonna try for a pink so that we get a chance for 2 points.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Are you on my team now?
Now I am on Melanie and Kevin's team.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay. Children's books.
Arrival in Time, Harry
Billy's
Potter,
Pocket,
Harry Potter 2,
Smitten.
Harry Potter
it's
3.
It's your job.
All the places you'll go. Right. We did it.
Metal
Gear
Solid Club.
What?
He named 5 Harry Potter books.
Did you name them by number or by title?
Well, we
did other ones,
we
but
did
I jokingly said Harry
we
Potter.
We had like
Wrinkle
in Time.
Harry Potter 2, Harry Potter 3.
That was pretty good.
Melody is killing it.
All right. You guys pick again.
Are we tied?
No, you guys got both the points.
Oh.
A flip-flop.
Flip-flop means we go
okay.
Back and forth between the teams.
Okay.
Yes. So pick one of these.
What is it?
Famous puppets.
Oh.
So,
okay, ready?
So we go until someone can't do it and I'm out.
Oh, yeah, so I don't need to time this one.
Okay. Big Bird.
Grover.
Bert.
Kermit.
Ernie.
Little Bird.
Little
Ooh.
Bird.
Does no one remember the tiny one that used to be best friends with Big Bird?
Yeah.
Mango.
I'm with you. Elmo.
Oh.
Julia.
Punch.
Judy.
The puppets from The Sound of Music.
Lady Elaine.
The puppets from The Sound of Music.
I could go with that. The goat herd.
Yeah.
Oh, the goat herd.
Abby Kadabby.
Mm.
Oh, so
Eureka.
Good.
I love their castle.
Yeah, Eureka's castle.
Snuffleupagus count as a puppet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zoe. Do we say Zoe yet?
Oh, no. Good call.
Do you remember Snuffleupagus used to be his best friend in his mind, and then kids got too upset that no one believed him, and so they made him real?
Made him real, right. The Count.
When did my friends become real?
The Count.
The Count.
Ooh, the Count.
Melody, do you have one?
I'm thinking.
I know, it's hard. Do we say animal?
No. Well, while you're thinking, let's say animal.
Yeah.
How about Addie?
Ooh, that's a good one. Melody, you definitely have one now, right?
Melody.
Yeah! Yeah. I think we win, right?
Yeah.
Because you have a famous puppet on your team.
Because we have a famous puppet on our team.
All right, all or nothing. Let's go.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, team play.
Oh.
Sweet.
Just us.
Oh.
You mean
and
you
only us.
One.
Yes. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Okay. Musicals featuring kids in the leads.
Ooh.
So we have 30 seconds.
Anastasia.
Matilda. School of Rock.
Yeah.
Secret Garden.
Jane Eyre when she was younger.
Sorry.
The young Jane Eyre.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Oliver. And Ruthless.
Oh.
13.
I think the whole point of 13 is that they were all becoming men and women at their respective bar and bat mitzvahs.
I was going to say, originally the title of that was Bar Mitzvah.
A mitzvah.
For sure.
JRB, are you listening?
Cool. So now we pick again?
Sure.
Great.
Let's do one more round.
Okay, sure.
We'll do another team round.
Because we have
we'll
2 points.
We'll do flip-flop. Flip-flop was fun.
Flip-flop
okay.
Was good.
Ready?
Yeah.
I picked this one. It says...
Yes, I think that one's funny.
Oh, here we go.
What'd you pick?
Ways to be nice to each other.
Oh!
That's it. All right, so it's a flip-flop, so it's teams back and forth. Melody, do you want to start us off?
Yes. Compliment each other.
Oh, good one.
Give hugs.
Write nice letters.
Oh.
Shake hands.
Oh.
This is a New York one, but give up your seat on the subway or on the bus.
Oh,
yes.
Nice one.
High five.
Good one.
Melody? Listen when someone's sad.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like that.
Open doors for people.
Good one.
Buy that person a drink if they need one. Like an apple juice or a water, like whatever you need at the moment.
That's fair.
Share your toys.
Yeah.
Good one. Mm. Tell them a joke.
Ooh,
to make them laugh.
Joke.
To make
sing
them
a song.
Oh, good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Read them a Harry Potter book.
Mm. Respect personal space.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
On the subway.
Millie, do you have another one?
Make them a drawing.
Oh.
Ooh. Give charity.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's
a, really
that's a
good,
good
one.
One.
How's your nice?
We're struggling.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice for adults to remember
yeah,
too.
Teach them something they don't know.
Ask them how they're doing.
Oh,
that's a good, that's an easy one.
Why do we say that first? Listen when they're talking about anything.
Yeah.
I think remembering even when you're online that the people online are real people too and being nice online and in the real world is a good one.
Always show empathy. That's
mm-hmm.
a good
yeah.
one.
Oh,
really.
Yeah.
Notice their strengths and tell them about them.
Mm, for mm-hmm. sure.
I like us all being nice.
Yeah. I don't think there should be a loser. There should only be winners here.
That's the best way to be nice. Game
like,
over!
Yay! But we're like the first winning team, right?
Yeah,
the
we won the
two
most.
Winning teams.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Oh, anytime. Anytime.
Great. Well, we're gonna say goodbye to you, but I don't know where Bonnie went. Maybe we should.
I was outside.
Oh, okay.
I'm back. What happened?
We played a fun game.
Oh, darn.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Just.
All right, next week.
Just sit on that juice box, you know.
Another juice box, another day.
So if there's one thing that you really want, I know obviously there's a lot of different things that each individual person will take, but if there's one thing that you want somebody leaving your theatrical space having learned or having felt, you know, what would that be to you?
I would say that I would want people to go home and go back to their schools and go back to all their friends and to recognize that every single one of their friends has unique strengths and that it's up to them to be the investigators. It's up to them to be the ones to find those special strengths in their friends and to be excited to find them and to share them with their other friends and not to focus on struggles but to focus on how they can be most helpful to their peers and to the world.
Beautiful.
Follow that.
I'm done.
Mic drop.
No. Juice drop.
Oh no, juice is everywhere.
a big theme of the show is that it's nice to be nice, and it's something that a lot of the characters realize. A lot of the people who started out really antagonistic, and I think what we really hope is that when people walk away from the show, that beautiful positive feeling. We hope that they bring that to wherever they go and they remember that it does feel good and to be kind and to see, like Nama was saying, the strength in people and to just bring that goodness everywhere and make a friend that they otherwise maybe wouldn't have before they saw the show.
And we want we want people to realize that bullying is just a kind of short-term good feeling, and very soon mm-hmm. it becomes fleeting and transient, and it's really important to be nice and to be kind and to be empathic, because those are long-lasting feelings, and
mm-hmm.
they'll have a long-lasting and positive impact.
Great. I thought of another thing to make somebody...
To make somebody nice.
Be kind, rewind.
Oh, I like that.
Wow. That is a good one.
No child listening to this is going to understand that reference.
Nope. Be kind, resume playing.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
If you want to see Addie and Unia, oh my gosh.
Whoops.
Juice
boxes.
Way too much juice.
Juice
way too much sugar. If you want to see Addie and Uno, that's the one. You can see it. It's running until September 24th at the theater at the 14th Street Y. You can go to Addie, A-D-D-Y, and Uno, and spelled out.com. It is 50 minutes without an intermission. Recommended for 4 and up. Children under the age of 2 are free, so feel free to take your families just to experience not only some exciting theater in New York City, but educational exciting theater, which unfortunately is not as easy to find as you may think
it's
it
true.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
But you should definitely get tickets. You should definitely check it out. Thank
there's
you.
There's puppets!
You can get up and dance!
And there's puppets.
And
you
sound.
Can get up and dance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much for sharing with us and joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Let's raise
thank
our
you.
Juice boxes.
Yes.
As we end every episode. Zoo-doo-wop-bop.
Cheers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Can I just boomerang us cheers and
juice?
Yeah. Because that was...
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.